are listening to the longest-running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the Smart Guinas Filipinas podcast. Stancy at your service. To my right, Raph Camus. Right across, Ro Moran. Boys, we are recording on a very special day for all of our fandom's sake.
Special today, yeah. Actually, and no jokes here. It's really a... It's a day we never fail to celebrate every year.
Hashtag never forget.
Never forget, never forget. Guys. Today marks the 9th death anniversary of one of our favorite wrestlers of all time, Eddie Guerrero.
Viva la Raza!
Damn, it's been 9 years.
9 years, guys. 9 years since the hero to our Stancy.
Yeah.
Passed away.
No, and mine too.
And to many of us here on SGP.
No, mine too, mine too.
I mean, I love the guy, but I wouldn't call him my hero, but I love the guys a lot.
I actually brought an Eddie Guerrero shirt. Like, I was supposed to go to a meeting today, which is why I'm actually dressed pretty decently today.
Not that anyone can see.
Yeah, not that anyone can see, but, you know, I brought an Eddie shirt. It's actually here in my bag. I'm going to show you guys once we start recording. Just
we'll
in honor for Eddie Guerrero, you know, just in honor.
I think you've seen
Eddie
this
Guerrero.
Shirt already.
No, I don't think you have seen this shirt. This is something I know you haven't seen, which is why I brought it today.
Ba, saan mo yung nabili?
Hindi to si I'm Not Your Papi.
No, it's not. It's
saan
not.
Saan mo nabili?
I forgot. I think it's something my sister got me for Christmas some years ago.
Aww.
Yeah. Okay. How is it different, though?
It's the cover of his DVD. The cheating, death, stealing,
shirt
life.
Ba na
that's the thing. I never knew that.
Is
this a bootleg?
It's probably a bootleg.
It's probably a bootleg. I don't care. It's an Eddie Guerrero t-shirt.
I don't care. I'd like to see that.
Yeah, okay. So I'm going to bring out the shirt in a bit. But yeah, it's going to be... This episode is pretty much going to be an Eddie-centric episode just because we're celebrating his death anniversary. Well, we are going to be doing our spots and botches list. We're also going to be doing Bo's Avenue and our picks of the week.
Are we doing Bo's Avenue?
No, we're not. Next week, then.
We'll save
that for next week. But we have a good Bo's Avenue lined up for you guys.
Yeah, very good Bo's Avenue.
I believe my man here, Ro, has been rehearsing.
No, I haven't been rehearsing it because I don't have time to rehearse it. But I have an idea, a nifty idea
and
for
the,
it.
And just to build hype. It's a pretty good idea.
But before we get to that, before we get too excited, see, we were so excited last week that we were going to talk to Mico Livello today, but that's not going to happen. Just yet.
Unfortunately. Because it's his birthday.
It's
his
birthday. Yeah, happy birthday, Mico.
Happy birthday.
Your birthday is.
Coincides.
Coincides with Eddie's death anniversary.
Which makes you even more special.
In your own way.
So happy birthday to you, sir.
Gagawa rin tayo ng sangalan ni Eddie Guerrero.
Ah! I like that.
The sequel.
I like that. All right. Now, of course, we got to get to business at hand first. Before we talk about our main topic, which is obviously Eddie Guerrero, let's talk about the list of things we liked and didn't like in wrestling this week. We call this list Spots and Botches.
Wait. I feel like we have to do that in a solemn low voice.
Okay. Right. We call this list Spots and Botches. Right now, if you remember when Eddie died, he was actually supposed to be part of a Survivor Series feud. So let's start off with an item that has to do with this year's Survivor Series feud. Who'd have thought that Rusev and Mark Henry would be on the same team?
After what has happened between these two.
Hashtag wrestling logic dictates that, okay, since they're both heels now, okay lang na maging teammates sila.
Or the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yeah, exactly. So now that the enemy... is the Big Show.
Yeah.
And the Big Show's enemy is also Rusev.
Right.
Friends with that. And it's something that you let slide because of wrestling logic, as I said. But you're right. It is kind of illogical then, inherently.
Right. Kasi national pride yung pinag-uusapan. E buti sana if it was something personal lang. Like, you know, you took a title shot away from me. Because that kind of grudge is something that can be settled by a friendly civil conversation. Putting national
Not
pride...
Not that any friendly civil conversations happen on the WWE.
Very good point. But, you know what I'm saying?
Hey,
national
Papi,
pride.
Papi. There's no such thing as politics in the WWE.
Oh!
Sure.
Sure. But yeah, I don't know. Anything else on Rusev and Mark Henry being on the same team?
Well, it's just weird because it happened so soon. It happened less than a month ago?
Yeah,
less than a month ago.
I can let it slide because of hashtag wrestling logic. But okay, fine.
Let it slide.
Yeah. No. Okay, if you want to gripe about it, it's fine. You say, in talaga, like I said, kanina, inherently it's illogical.
Right.
But yeah, moving on to something positive about the Survivor Series feud. Hey, Luke Harper. Luke Harper is part of the Survivor Series feud.
Luke Harper is a team player.
That's right.
Yes.
I just loved it. It was subtle.
Creepy eye promo.
Yeah.
This creepy eye promo that apparently only showed during pre-Dolph Ziggler matches.
Oh, my. I did not notice that until
You didn't notice? No.
I did not notice it until like the second time it happened.
Ah.
Yeah. But that's the thing. He was targeting the Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah. But did you know that there are actually people who did not know it was Luke Harper?
I don't blame them. Because it's not the money.
Yeah, but then
it's so distinctively. Oh, I got creepy.
No, not just that, not just his voice, but he's the only
not that
one
we
missing.
Heard a lot of his voice.
No, he was talking in the promo.
Yeah, he was.
No. I mean, like prior.
I guess my argument, lang, you know, to defend those people is not a lot of people remember how Luke Harper sounds because it's not like he did a lot of the talking, naman, in the Wyatt family.
That's what I just said.
No, Jose, but I'm
sorry.
There was only one other guy missing, and it can't be Roman Reigns. Why would Roman Reigns be doing a creepy eye promo?
Because that's not him.
Exactly.
Unless.
And so you got a missing guy, you got a creepy promo. Who else would it be? The guy's hair isn't red.
Plus crazy eyes.
And that's true.
Plus crazy eyes, yep.
So yeah, so it only made sense that it's Luke Harper. And hey, if he can be a team player, then welcome to Survivor Series.
But yeah, what I really liked about this segment, this last segment, if you didn't know, it was the very last segment of last Monday's Raw.
Right, and we were all waiting for Dolph Ziggler to join the fray. He didn't show up.
So I was watching Raw this Tuesday, and I saw the segment. And what I saw was, I was thinking, ooh, okay, everyone's out one by one. And they were coming out relatively slow. It's not like they all bum-rushed everyone at the same time. It was like they gave them enough time, enough spacing. And then when it came to, okay, Ziggler? No Ziggler. Okay. So I'm like, okay, there's no big deal. They're abroad. He might be tired. He might have headed home. And then cut to backstage. And then you see Harper throwing Ziggler at the feet of the Authority. And I was like, it's one of those things that, you know, I had a small gripe about it because the delay was long enough.
Yeah.
But the delay was long enough that you'd think, okay, Ziggler's gone. Okay, he's not playing into this because he's legit. Like, he could have been legitimately banged up from the night's work.
Right.
But I was like, oh, okay. And then you get that moment where it just felt off for me. Just a bit off. But I liked it.
What I liked about it is that it was the perfect punctuation to a crazy night of twists and turns.
Too many twists and turns.
You can say that again.
Before we get into that, I just want to say that it was the best. Now we are led with more questions going into the next episode, whether that's SmackDown or whether it's Raw. There is a question. And then what's happening now is Luke Harper really going to be
a
part
team
of
player.
Team Authority, or is Dolph going to be out of the match?
Yeah, that was the same thing I was going to bring up, actually. Is that going to happen? Is Dolph Ziggler still part of Team Cena? Or are they going to be having their own little feud on the side? So that's a good question heading into the next episode. But since you mentioned twists and turns, we can't pass up the opportunity to talk about Ryback's turns. Throughout the night, he went from being one of the biggest faces on the roster to being a heel to being
a tweener?
Somewhere in between, exactly. Yeah. I don't get it. What's happening to Ryback right now?
Well, again, it's not something that you are going to know. It's not as compelling as the Luke Harper Ziggler thing that just happened.
Sure.
Well, did you really think that they were going to keep him heel after he turned heel early in the night?
I didn't think so. Like, I thought that. Watching the episode, I kind of had that sense nah. Something was going to happen. He wasn't going to stay heel for long because of the way they treated
him. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and the motivation, like, oh, they're signing my checks. That's not so compelling for a guy like
Ryback. But it's a valid
reason. It's valid, but not a strong reason.
If it were Stan presented in that situation, he would have signed with the Authority.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, the normal man would, but then it's Ryback. He's been treated unfairly before. He had his run. He got shoved into the shitty gimmick that is Ryback's, and as we saw in his promo video on Main Event.
Yeah, Main Event.
That, oh yeah, and we'll get back together and we'll lose again. That he's been treated unfairly, and then he has every reason to gripe. But now that he's getting this push again, he has every reason not to.
What do you think this means for him? What do you think is going to happen to him at the Survivor Series?
I think he'll still be part of the match, but he'll be in Team Cena.
Team Cena.
As parang anti-hero of sorts.
Siya yung ano.
He would be the wild card. He would be the wild card that Randy Orton is supposed to
but
be.
But if you were John, why would you take him back? Because this guy already proved that he would turn his back on you for money.
Yeah, but he's also got a gripe now against Team Authority. I think he's kind of the X factor between all of the guys on his team.
But John...
All of them have something against Team Authority. Big Show hates Rusev. Sheamus hates Mercury and Noble for causing this championship match.
Sheamus can just say, I hate them.
Period. No, Sheamus is in Team Cena because of Rusev.
Yeah.
Because Rusev is in Team Authority.
Right, right.
That's just the way.
Yeah. And he has that legit gripe then, even against the Authority, because when they were trying to court Rusev, they fucked Sheamus in his match.
They scratched his back.
That's true.
Right.
But if I were John, this guy just turned on me last week. And we have like 1 week left.
He just planted him out. Yeah.
Parang, come on.
How can I trust you in a week's time? Yeah.
If I were John, I would rather trust Randy.
If Randy's okay.
But who would round out the team? Let's assume Ziggler is out.
I don't think Ziggler is out.
Ziggler's out. Ziggler's on because Ziggler has been sturdy.
No, not just that. If Harper is on Team Authority, Ziggler has to stay on Team Cena. Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
If he stays on Team Cena, despite the fact that he was taken out of commission, quote-unquote, That gets him over even more as a bigger face.
Uh-huh.
Kasi kaya niya eh. He goes for it even though he got beaten up.
He's basically going to be Dean Ambrose Light.
True.
Basically.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know. I mean, let's say John Cena sticks by normal person logic and doesn't take on Ryback on his team, what happens to Ryback in this story? Ano siya, prop lang siya for the twists and turns? So all that turns
Ryback comes in at the end.
Of the match.
Isn't that what we expect Orton to do then? Let's say it's Ryback instead of Orton in that number five
They're
spot.
Interchangeable.
The Authority has to win, for sure.
Unless Lozito wins.
No.
I don't think so.
I think the Authority has to win.
But this is what we said, last month. This is what we said last month when we were like, Orton has to win. Orton has to win, and then Lozito wins.
No, it's not that Orton... No, last month was us saying Orton needs
should
to win,
win
for us, or should yeah. win for us. But this time, it's storyline necessity talaga that Authority has to win in order to set up all the faces.
Right. Because there's a bigger payoff in mind. I don't think this is the payoff just yet. Think about 2003.
Okay.
The payoff is something with Vince, for sure.
So, okay. This is my take on it. Just playing devil's advocate. If Cena wins, and he gets... Okay, not necessarily he gets power, but... The Authority's out. The Authority's out. This leaves so much more room for people like Paul Heyman to come in.
Why would Paul Heyman become the GM?
Just to come back into storyline.
You know what's going to happen here? Team Cena gets control of Raw for 1 month.
No.
Just like 2004.
No. But say, okay, let's just play devil's advocate here. Say Team Cena wins.
I don't know. I mean, what? Are you going to bring Big Johnny back? Are you going to bring a face GM? See, no. Who, Brad
or
Maddox?
Or
William Regal.
Or does Vince come back?
Vince probably comes back. Because he sets him up. He shows himself.
He was the one who set up that stipulation first place. So he has to intervene.
No, and the fact that this is going to be a power struggle between Triple H and Vince.
Which is nice in a meta way.
Yeah. But the binary is Triple H and Vince McMahon. Okay. Or Vince McMahon.
Okay, so with that, where does that leave Cena and Team Cena for that matter?
Well, he carries Vince's banner.
I don't think he carries Vince's banner necessarily. I just think he's in it to vanquish the Authority.
But he doesn't necessarily care what happens after, as long as the Authority.
Sana hindi naman ganun, no?
Yeah, sana naman.
That would be very short sighted.
Yeah, that would be very much scumbag Cena. tapos
which
na,
we've seen time and time again,
which we may see again
if that happens.
We riot.
Sina.
Trapo.
We fucking riot.
I love that. I love that. All right. I think we've spent a good 7-8 minutes on Ryback. Let's talk about something else this time. Adam Rose. The Adam Rose heel turn. We're seeing more of it. It's very abusive what we're seeing of Adam Rose and the Bunny and the Rosebuds. I'm reminded of the song Luca by Suzanne Vega.
What?
What?
It's an 80s song which talks about domestic abuse in a very upbeat manner. Jesus Christ.
Okay,
so it's pretty much
what we're
seeing.
I'm a bigger music buff than you, and I didn't get that reference.
I don't know. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it's the My Name is Luca, that song. My Name is Luca, I live on the second floor. Kay. That one.
Okay. Moving on.
It's from 88. Anyway, so yeah, the reason I bring this up is because Adam Rose is very upbeat and shit. Like, he's a party animal, right? And he beats up the Bunny. And parang it's... As many people have pointed out on Cage Side Seats, on the internet, na, it's what you would normally see on TV or in the movies as a depiction of a very abusive relationship. And that's what we're seeing with Adam Rose and the Rosebuds and the Bunny.
Well, this is the only way we could have gotten character development that we'd care about.
For the Bunny.
For the Bunny. And for Adam Rose. Because Adam Rose as the party boy doesn't go anywhere unless the party ends.
Right, right. And I like... the in layer na inad nila na parang he feels like laos na siya. And then parang he's like, come on, we're still partying, right? We're still partying. And he's trying to force a reaction, elicit that reaction out of the Rosebuds. It's nice for me. And I think it's very dickish on a dark level.
Sorry, I was looking up Luca.
No, but really, the thing is, if you guys have seen Adam, the man that is Adam Rose's former persona, Leo Kruger, work on NXT. He's very psychotic. Like, he has this moveset that's very rough and tumble. Hard.
No, seriously, he was boring.
No, just the moveset. Just the moveset. Not the character, but the moveset.
No. His offense was boring.
I love the character, and I think the character and the offense
are different
things.
He was like Randy
things.
Orton Light.
Which could work if he was...
Sure.
Okay, because I know where you're going to go with this Adam Rose thing. Adam Rose cult leader.
No, I was saving that for next week, maybe.
Oh, well, okay.
Are we going there now?
We've talked about it. We can go there now.
I like MDJ's theories, to be sure, to be fair. And they're way too wacky to get into now.
Shout out to MDJ.
You know, we've been giving MDJ so many shout outs. He should be on the podcast.
Yeah,
very
I want
soon.
Maybe we should come
MDJ,
by to explain the theory.
MDJ,
right,
if you're not working OT,
the Adam Rose theory.
Come by next week.
Yeah, official invitation.
Official invitation.
To Mr. MDJ Superstar.
And we know that you listen to the podcast.
We need to have the gun show on the podcast.
We need you to flex those guns and to ham it up right here on the SGP podcast.
But moving back to Adam Rose before we lose track.
Right. Moving back to Adam Rose.
Adam Rose just needs character depth, and this is the
I think we're
way.
Getting it.
This is what we're getting.
No, not necessarily getting it yet.
But we're getting there.
It's something, but hopefully, if they proceed with it, we'll get something.
I guess my question is it now still important who's under the Bunny mask?
No.
Is it still important?
Not right now.
No. Because there's no reason to feel sympathetic to anyone.
Yeah.
Just the Bunny. The Bunny mismo.
The Bunny itself. Is the character now. Not the one
behind
under
the
it.
Mask.
Okay, fair
if
enough.
If it were the Bunny still feuding with someone, say, like, Slater Gator. Yeah, Titus. Yeah. Then it would have mattered who it was under the suit. But now that they've managed to inadvertently make the Bunny itself sympathetic...
Yeah.
Hindi na importante kasi yung nasa ilalim na.
Okay, that's fair. Let's talk about the Peep Show this time. The Peep Show made its return. It was nice to see Christian again. And
oh, how we've missed you in the ring.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I still miss Christian, yeah.
I still miss him.
But it was nice to get a good, 3, 4, 5 minutes of Christian, even though Dean and Bray Wyatt basically hijacked the Peep Show. It's still a
As
spot,
always.
Nonetheless.
They hijacked the Peep Show. They were the guests.
That's what they're supposed to do.
Pero alam mo, parang naging negligible si Christian at some point.
But he's there. That's,
he's the
that's,
host.
That's what counts. That's
yeah.
What counts.
Well, you know.
It's like Piper's Pit.
Sure.
Piper's Pit at this point is no longer about Piper.
Yeah, it's about
when they have it, it's about putting somebody else over.
Right.
It's putting a storyline over.
Exactly.
I guess. And I'll give them that. Christian's out. He did a Peep Show. I'm happy. I'm good.
Nice to see you.
Can I just say, I must be really stupid to say this, but it was only recently that I got the joke behind the name The Peep Show.
God.
Only now?
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, only sorry. Now.
This
only
is a
now.
Rarity.
Yeah.
This is a rarity.
Mr. Cool Guy Pepe.
Not cool guy, but, you know, the guy who is always in on the joke, but...
Is not in on that joke.
Yeah, I know, right?
Wow. Wow.
Captain Charisma, wow. One for you.
That's a spot for me, and that's a botch for you.
Yeah.
All right, another spot on this list. The new day.
It's a new day for black people in the WWE.
Hey, Kofi's part of the stable. That's great. I love how they...
That means Big E is going to be part of the stable. And quick, Titus, there's still time to get on this.
It's our truth.
We've called this stable the Blacksus before, and rightfully so. They're going completely racist with this gimmick.
No, well,
okay, racially profiled. They're racist.
There's a theory going around that the racially stereotyped vignettes are a distraction.
They're a red herring, kind of like Brodus Clay from 2012.
Not just that, but also the Chris Jericho segments from 2012, I think.
Yeah, early
from
2012.
When it was supposed to be Undertaker.
Yeah. The theory goes that sa umpisa lang siya ano.
Happy, good guy.
Yung pala pagdating nila, gagawin sila.
They're like NOD 2.0.
Not necessarily NOD. They're just a group of angry black men, I guess.
ABMs. I like that.
Not because they. You know
not
what? I don't know.
Not for anything else, but yeah, it's.
De pare. They're gonna be NWAs.
Basically,
for those of you who didn't get that.
No, I don't want to say it here. Kasi baka maano tayo dito.
We might get lynched here. Besides, look up Dr. Dre, Ice Cube, Eazy-E, those guys.
Speaking of NWAs, this is really good for Kofi and Big E.
Because they're getting personality.
Yeah, because they're actually getting some attitude.
Diba? And they need that.
They're N's who are getting A's. Finally.
And we need that. So, yeah, hello,
they
new
need
day.
That.
It's a spot. It's something we are looking forward
to. I'm so excited. Not because it's, you know, a caricature of black people, but African Americans.
Because they're getting A's.
Yeah, because they're getting A's.
Yeah.
That's basically why.
You don't have to shorten the A's. You don't have to call
it. That was a reference
A's.
To the NWA.
Yeah.
Come
on. No, but just. Okay, moving on.
Straight out of Stanford.
Oh, shit.
All right. Speaking of Stanford, you know, the people at Stanford have reached a settlement with the former Alberto Del Rio. And it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing because
it's
I don't like the message.
Speaking of racism, but yeah. Here we go.
And I don't like the message that's being sent. You know, like, they're paying ADR to shut up and to stop suing them for racism.
Well, they didn't just pay him to shut up. They also dropped his non-compete. So now he gets to work.
Finally gets
to work.
Yo, that's a good thing. That's a good thing
that's
for ADR.
Good thing for us.
No, I think that's why he, you know, that's mainly why he agreed to the settlement.
Right, because at the
work.
End of
not
the day,
because it's money, because he has a lot of money. Have you seen the cars he's been bringing out, you know, back in his WWE run?
Kanya ba
yun?
Are those his?
No, God, I was making a joke. Damn it! Oh, see, now
we
I
can't
win
get
again.
The joke.
Now I win again. Anyway,
one all.
That. I'm sure he doesn't need the money. Right? So
okay.
I'm really sure that it's about being able to wrestle wherever he wants to wrestle. On TV.
Yeah, but I guess what my gripe really is about is the bigger picture. Like, what message do you inevitably send? Or, like, inadvertently send. Sorry. What message do you inadvertently send when you agree, you know, you get a settlement and you stop suing the company that offended you for the reason that they offended you?
The message is be a star.
Well, the message is, you know, at the end of the day, money talks. But not money, but
on what are the priorities in life, diba? Like Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You still need to work. At the end of the day, you know, mas importante.
If he really wanted to work, then okay, sure. It's kind of like the situation with Ray. They're keeping him hostage for God knows what reason because they're not even, you know, they don't
not,
even
they don't
have anything for him anymore. Yeah, exactly.
And their cheats are saying. But and to write them new stories.
I don't get it because they don't have anything for him and they already have a future in place. Guys like Sin Cara and Kalisto.
Right.
So I don't know what else. If they're not going to use him, why keep him around, right?
No, that's a good point.
Is it because, I don't know, you want to own the name, the rights to his name or in his likeness? What?
I guess they're trying to send a message. Now, if there's anyone among you who's going to try to pull this shit off.
Anybody of race that's trying to pull this shit off.
We're going
to
hold you hostage.
No, but this has happened before the whole thing, diba? This has been a really long-running situation.
With Rey Mysterio. That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's so, been... I mean, we haven't seen him since...
Right around the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, Royal Rumble.
Yeah, oh, yeah. God.
The heel turn.
Ooh. The heel turn. You know, I wanted to save this question for, like, another time. But let's just throw it out there, maybe give a quick answer, and then table it for another time. Did Rey Mysterio deserve that?
No.
No, of course not. Not at all.
No.
All right.
Nobody ever deserves that.
Side question. Let's say it wasn't Rey. Anybody else at number 30, you think they would have gotten the same reaction if their name was not Daniel Bryan?
Yeah, basically.
Anyone. You could have put in freaking Triple H there and they would still boo the shit out of him.
Kahit si Shawn Michaels pa yun.
Yeah.
Well,
he wouldn't have worked it. He wouldn't have worked it. Knowing his relationship with Daniel Bryan, he wouldn't have worked it.
Okay, fair enough. Let's table that for another time and talk about the last item on our list. Lucha Underground main event, Phoenix versus Pentagon Jr. versus Drago. Great match.
Three complete unknowns to the mainstream. But excellent match. I mean,
it was crazy as fuck.
Yeah, man. I mean, Lucha Underground is getting better and better each week. I mean, this is pretty good. Pretty good stuff.
It is good stuff.
I would face Mil Muertes just to get licked by Katrina.
I think that's her signature now, you know? Like, that's the message Mil Muertes wants to send.
Mil Muertes says hello.
If I'm going to die that way, then so be it.
Mil Muertes.
I'd rather die that way.
Yeah, this Katrina girl is hot.
Yeah, she is.
I love Maxine forever.
Yeah.
Science just said WWE, really.
Yeah. And for those of you who haven't seen Lucha Underground yet, get on that shit.
You should.
Get on that shit.
It's a legit.
We have links, so if you want to know where to watch it, we can tell you where to watch it. We can show you.
Underground, papi.
We can show you the light. Just tweet us. It's at Stan947.
At Caveman Camus.
At Ro is War.
All right, that's going to do it for this list of the things we like and did not like about this week in wrestling. And solemnly, we call this Spots and Botches. We mentioned at the start of the podcast that this episode is all about Eddie Guerrero. Hell, we're dedicating this to Eddie Guerrero because today is his death anniversary, his 9th. And, you know, it's been 9 years since Eddie passed away. And we've made a point time and time again to emphasize just why we love Eddie Guerrero, why he's so beloved, why he's one of the more well-respected legends in this industry by both peers and, you know, by fans like us, marks and smarks alike, at least those who, you know, who've been lucky enough, who've been fortunate enough to witness Eddie Guerrero's work. And, you know, 9 years is more than enough time to think about how much we love him and why we love him.
Yeah, it's been 9 years. I've personally have written extensively on why I love him and why I love his work. And I'm sure you have done the same as well. We've talked about this over and over. And if for most of our listeners, they probably have heard us in one way or another, whether it be, you know, through writing, through
the weird posts that we've been posting.
Yeah, yeah. Through our Facebook timelines.
Hell, I talked about it on the radio today.
Yeah, on the radio, on our Facebook discussions then.
Yeah, man.
And I'm sure... it's been, well, not to be insensitive, but it's been beaten to death.
Right, right. But you know,
sorry, I couldn't find a better metaphor there.
I could not have.
You give me a better metaphor for that.
Gasgas na.
Yeah.
Fine.
Dude, it's so fucking tame. Gasgas na siya.
Gas.
We're not going back into editing for this.
Sorry.
It's been beaten to death, okay.
But yeah, but you know, in case you're not familiar with the circumstances of Eddie Guerrero's death, he died on November 13, 2005, on the morning of November 13, in his hotel room in Minnesota. He was supposed to have competed in the Raw Super Show that day. Raw Super Shows at the time were Raw and SmackDown put together. He was scheduled to compete in a match against Batista and Randy Orton for the World Heavyweight Championship under Triple Threat rules.
Huh? What?
Kasama si Randy Orton. It was a Triple Threat.
Triple Threat.
It was a SmackDown.
It was a Raw
was a Super Show.
On a Sunday.
On a Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a Sunday. And Chavo Guerrero was supposed to pick him up.
No, but he was supposed to win on the next episode of SmackDown.
After was the Super Show mismo.
No, wait. And a house show?
I think they taped it for both Monday and
Friday
night that
really?
Week. Yeah. From what I remember...
Preemptive taping.
Was Randy in the SmackDown roster at the
Randy
time?
Randy was on the SmackDown roster at the time. Uh-oh. Because Randy was the one who eventually replaced Eddie on the SmackDown Survivor Series team when it was Raw versus SmackDown. So Chavo found Eddie Guerrero's body. He was the one who, you know, called the authorities. And that's pretty much how the news broke out that Eddie Guerrero died.
Eddie died died from complications from his heart. His heart couldn't take the work that he was putting in. He was working such a hard schedule. And considering the drug abuse that he got over in his life, it just, you know, circumstances being what they were, it was his time to go. Like, he worked his ass off, and he went out the champ in our eyes.
So I guess where this brings us now is, you know, we've talked about this a lot, but I guess it's time we talk about this on the podcast. I don't want to say play it, but let's go through a round of what ifs, several rounds of what ifs, basically revolving around the assumption that Eddie Guerrero doesn't die.
Yeah, disclaimer though, we have gotten over it.
We're okay with it.
We just want to do this thought experiment for the sake of doing a thought experiment.
And I guess at the end of the day, what we want to achieve is we want to unearth or shell out the arguments for what Eddie Guerrero's legacy ultimately is. Because if you uncover the reason, or if you uncover some assumptions about what happens if Eddie doesn't die, then you can see the ultimate effect of his death. Which, while it's a bad thing on the surface, there's always a good out of the bad, but there's always a silver lining.
True that.
So that's what we're trying to find through this exercise. All right? So let's start off with the basic, on the surface is the obvious. And we said this earlier. If Eddie didn't die, he would have been world champion again.
For sure.
And he would have had
it's a given.
It's a given. Yeah. Somebody that good doesn't go unrecognized. For a long period of time.
Yeah, exactly. And they were about to give it to him again.
He was at the top of his game when he died.
Pero I have to say that it might have only, you know, he might have only had like 3 to 5 years left in his career. And by the time after that third year, in years 4 to 5, he would just
that would be swan song years.
He would just have been working on a limited schedule.
All right, so let's assume that Eddie were still alive today. He would be 46, right?
That's 90s. Really old.
That's old. That's really old. That's in wrestling years.
Like, take into consideration Chris Jericho. He's 44 right now.
Yeah.
Right? And he's working on limited sched. But then again, that's because of...
touring schedules.
Touring scheds, yeah.
Not just that. Jericho took time off in his prime.
Long time off.
And DDP Yoga saved his life. You're welcome, DDP.
If you want to get a free DDP, you can just type in ddpyoga.com/sgppodcast. No, I'm just kidding. We don't have the tie-up yet.
But Jericho, if you're listening to this podcast, we want DDP Yoga DVDs. Please.
I want Nature Box.
So let's go back. Let's assume Eddie was still alive today. How would he have gone out? Does he go out like Edge does? Does he go out like Chris Jericho is right now?
I think he kind of goes out like Shawn does.
Like he has this
one WrestleMania moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like to imagine it that way.
Slow near the end. He starts limiting his schedule to go to, maybe doesn't do house shows anymore by the end. And then just inserts himself in bigger angles until...
Until he calls it a day.
Yeah.
You know what I think? Like, given the theory that you mentioned earlier, when we were off the air, Eddie Guerrero's body was banged up at the time of his death. That's one of the theories.
It's not a theory.
It's a fact.
It's actually the news going around at the time.
Factual thing.
We just don't know it because we were not smarks at the time.
Sure. But the autopsy showed it. The autopsy showed that, his body was broken down. His arteries were not necessarily clogged, but still showing side effects of the years of drug abuse.
Mm. Okay, let's take that into consideration.
No, but he was beyond that. He was just really in worse shape at that time. He was just, you know, forcing.
He was forcing himself to keep beyond going. His capacity.
Okay, so that being said, if he was still alive today, I think he goes out the way Christian does, not the way Shawn Michaels does, because Shawn still had that one last hurrah. We're not probably going to see that with Christian.
I don't think so because I think Eddie was more durable than Christian is at this point.
Yeah, because Eddie didn't break down the way that
Christian is similar to Ray right now, because they keep breaking down in one way or another.
Like it's the knees.
Just start and stop the silangane.
Yeah.
Okay. I think Eddie was strong enough, if he really could push
physically.
Himself. He would have been... I think he's more like The Undertaker now.
The one match a year type.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
one
probably.
Excellent match a year. And then that's it.
Okay, granted naman, Eddie is a bigger star and was a bigger star than Christian.
I think there's a retirement. Speaking of The Undertaker, I think there's a retirement match waiting for The Undertaker. But
yeah,
and I think that's the same way Eddie goes. Maybe he loses big once and then...
He gets his moment in the sun.
Yeah.
Probably with, you know, hopefully, you know, if it would have happened in an alternate universe, it would have been to the next big Latino star. Diba? Probably.
Probably.
Who is... No, in this universe, who is the next big Latino star? We have
Kalisto.
To go into that because
Kalisto, clearly.
At this point, I don't think that if Eddie were still alive, they would not have needed Alberto Del Rio when they did.
So you mean to say na yung window for that next big Latino star would have been smaller than it is today, or than it was?
No,
four
it
years.
Would have been smaller for him, for Alberto,
which was like 4 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, the timing wouldn't have been right if you still had Eddie in that, you know, in that frame where you see him and then you don't have another guy who's up and coming at the time.
2010, that was 5 years after Eddie died. He would have been 42. Mm. So assuming that at the time of his death, 37, he would have had a good 3 to 5 year window to retire. Yun, pa-retire na siya noon by the time ADR came in. By the time, assuming that, you know, things still happen the same way that they did and ADR actually comes in.
ADR would be working under Eddie's shadow pa rin.
ADR wouldn't be pushed to the moon the way that he was.
That might have been good for him, though.
Yeah.
Because it would have been a slow but steady development for the character.
Mm. Yeah.
And for him to get acclimated to the WWE style.
Yeah, because, like, it's been shown that ADR beats the shit out of guys. If Eddie was there holding him back, you think he wouldn't have gotten the rep that he has?
Mm. I don't think so.
I don't know.
Would he have, it's one of those things. I mean, we're doing a what if segment. It's like I have a feeling that, you know, Eddie, because we know that Eddie was a good locker room guy.
Okay.
Really good locker room guy. I think that, you know, he'd keep ADR in check. ADR would still be in the WWE right now. If he was even signed. Yeah.
I don't know. Something tells me that if we're going to talk about racial relations and how the WWE has handled ADR, I'm not sure if they're going to hold ADR to the same standards they would have held Eddie to.
For sure. I think this is a setup for what I have to say about this. I think that given what Alberto Del Rio and Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara have been saying about the racist, quote-unquote, WWE system, I think, and this is just an observation, I think that Eddie was not the target of racism as much as the other Latino stars and other stars of minority were.
So why is that?
Well, I think it's because of his pedigree, basically, and
his status. Yeah,
not just his pedigree, but his skill. You see guys like Vince and Triple H really respecting the hell out of Eddie.
Okay,
true that.
I don't think the other Latino stars have gotten that same
respect.
Not necessarily respect, but, you know, that same relationship with guys like Vince
at the top. So do you mean to say that Eddie's on a pedestal?
In a way. But he's earned it.
Yeah, yeah. Very deservingly.
All right. Now, for a casual or for a beginner or for someone who probably is too young to remember Eddie Guerrero, they can make the argument that ADR is a second-generation wrestler as well. He's the son of Dos Caras and the nephew of Mil Máscaras. Both are legends in Lucha Libre. So why?
But not like the biggest legends ever. They're not crossover legends.
They're not Dos Santos.
They're not Blue Demon or not Gordo Guerrero.
So if you were to make a hierarchy or a tier system for these
legends.
Do we
have to go into this here?
No, let's not go into this here. Let's not do it here because it's suffice to say that Eddie was a legend in his own right. He was a legend by association.
I'm going to say this. The top guys, the top brass in the WWE might have been racist, but they were either careful enough not to
offend him,
or they loved him as well. More than they loved, say, Rey, Sin Cara, Alberto Del Rio.
I don't know. This is going to sound
morbid,
but I agree.
It's speculation on my part. I don't know what went on at the time.
No, but sure.
What,
I get that.
From what I see, when you see footage of the reactions after Eddie's championship win.
Okay, thank you.
You see legit respect coming from guys like Vince.
Right.
So, parang okay, that's my evidence, but I'm not sure if it's conclusive in any way.
Yeah, no. Thanks for bringing that up, because like another point that we have to bring out here in this exercise is if Eddie doesn't die, Rey Mysterio wouldn't be world champion.
Mm,
and that's something we have to put out there.
Yeah.
It's a race relations thing.
As much as I love Rey, as much as I do think he deserves it, whether Eddie is alive or not, they just would not give it to him.
You know what?
Rey wouldn't have the groundswell of support that
came with Eddie's death.
Yeah, like it's similar to what Daniel Bryan has right now.
When CM Punk left.
Yeah.
You know what? Numinention wing. How when Eddie died, there was like a legitimate show of respect from guys like Vince. I'm now
no,
trying
not
to think.
Died when no, he
even when he was
when,
there.
No, when Eddie won the title.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was thinking like if Ray when Ray won the title at WrestleMania, I don't think the same thing happened.
Yeah, I don't
but
think
a pat on the back, good job, kid, and that's it.
It wasn't as cathartic. It was cathartic.
Cathartic
for sure.
because this finally, is like, this yeah. is finally the small guy gets it. But the thing is. Does the small guy get it if Eddie's still around? That's the big thing.
Like looking back 8 years ago, we can say that give the assist to Eddie.
May asterisk.
Yeah. And the thing is, Ray was never the same after he won.
Oh, that's true.
Ray was never the same after he won that championship. I mean, he was good.
That championship run was booked terribly.
Yeah, it was booked terribly. It was booked horribly. But the thing is, the Ray that... If you watch Ray... Post WCW pre
WWE
heavyweight
ROH,
champion.
Basically, okay. All right.
He was really good, but the thing was he good enough to be champion? That's the thing.
My thing about Rey Mysterio's run post WrestleMania 22 was it felt like he was shoved down my throat. Like, he's a legit main eventer. Accept him.
But he could have been.
He could have been, but we weren't ready to see him in that.
Actually, no,
that
it wasn't. That wasn't the thing. He was pushed down your throat, but he was also being made to lose.
Yeah, he was
not booked as a champion.
He was not booked as a champion. He was still booked as the underdog. And the thing is, even when you become the champion, you're supposed to. It's the argument of if you're gonna be the man, you have to beat the man.
No. But on that note, though, Cena, for one, is perpetually booked as the underdog. Which is even more absurd because he's a big dude.
And he doesn't lose a lot.
Yeah, exactly. But Ray's stature, yung palang, his physical stature palang, that already automatically makes him an underdog, whether you like it or not. The mere fact that he's one of the smallest guys in the WWE roster, that makes him an underdog. I think it mas legit yung pagka-underdog ni Ray kaysa kay Cena.
Right. True. That's something I can get behind.
But getting back to the discussion of Eddie.
Yeah. Sorry.
Do we say that Ray is like Hall of Fame first ballot
without Eddie?
Wow.
Or is he even first ballot?
No, he's not.
He's not a first ballot Hall of Famer. Especially
No, wait. If you asked me this like I don't know, a couple of years ago, I would have said yes.
But now, considering everything that's happened
now that the backstage drama is showing up, not first ballot.
Not even close.
But I would put him at first ballot for sure. Personally.
No, but does Ray even make Hall of Fame?
Yes.
I think he should.
He should.
But he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer.
He's not first ballot.
He's a type.
Realistically, he's not first ballot.
Right. And when we say first ballot, yung tipong, right after retirement, the next WrestleMania, Hall of Fame inductee na siya, like Eddie, like Edge, like Shawn Michaels.
Hey, I'm an Edge fan, but I don't think Edge deserved first ballot.
Edge didn't. Edge could have gone in with Christian.
I don't think he deserved first ballot. Headlining induction.
The thing about Edge, let's just take a sidetrack here.
Sorry.
The thing about Edge and his Hall of Fame class, and I'm an Edge mark too. I'm not sure right now, 3 years after he got inducted, or 2 years after he got inducted, whether or not he deserved first ballot status. But one thing I can say is, sinuwerte siya na the year he got inducted, there wasn't any big star with him.
That's true.
Okay.
Sinuwerte siya, kaya siya naging headliner nung class na yun.
They could have designed it that way.
Maybe.
And I mean, no. Then this is one of the inherent flaws with the WWE Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah. It's a flawed system.
It's a flawed system, and we haven't discussed it at all.
And we should not do that.
And we shouldn't do that now.
But
going back to Eddie. Okay. Ray gets in the Hall of Fame with Eddie. If we go in an alternate universe theory where he doesn't become World Heavyweight Champion... Does he still deserve it?
I think he still does.
Like, we're still talking about Ray.
I think he still does.
Yeah, for sure.
With his contribution to the cruiserweight division and all that. And his work. His line of work.
He is influential, I think, to the cruiserweight division.
And for making Lucha Libre mainstream.
Okay. And
pretty much, yeah. Not necessarily
mainstream, but
like something that...
In the forefront.
Keeping it in the forefront. When the promotion that made it mainstream died.
Right. And, you know, just keeping the spirit of Lucha Libre existent in the minds of younger audiences, us.
I would say he's a Hall of Fame regardless. Anyway.
Sure.
Moving on.
All right, moving on. Next point. if Eddie doesn't die, yeah, we wouldn't have had Vicky Guerrero.
Oh, for sure. That's also a given.
Vicky doesn't need to work.
Yeah, Vicky doesn't need to work. He doesn't need to put the she doesn't need to put the kids through school.
No cougar gimmick, no Ooh, excuse
God,
me gimmick.
That was so okay. For no, everything Vicky Heat. For everything that Vicky's done, and she's given us a lot of entertaining moments over the years, she was not that great. Like, just honestly.
She played her role, but I think we can argue the fact that she kind of stumbled into what worked for her.
Yeah, it's not like she didn't grow up in the business. She just
yeah,
came
for
on.
Sure. Well, she had to do it, and but din naman kahit paano, she was able to pull it off
in right? a memorable way. In a memorable way,
she just stumbled into a very lucky
and
situation.
And a corollary to all this, without Vicky, the career trajectory of guys like Dolph Ziggler. Edge, maybe. Not in a big way, but somewhere along the way.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What about Eric Escobar?
I was about to say Eric Escobar.
Oh, shit.
Does anybody remember Eric Escobar?
Barely. But yeah, barely. I was about to say that.
Oh, God.
Because I remember Eric Escobar. Fucking A. Yeah, so yeah, if Eddie doesn't die, no Vicky, no Eric Escobar.
No, there would have been an Eric Escobar. He just would not be, you know, saddled with Vicky.
Okay, but here's the thing. Does Dolph get the recognition as early as now? Like, is he almost main event? Is he almost main event without Vicky?
They would have found another way to bring his character in.
Dolph was so good that he would have found a way.
Kasi nag-fail na yung Spirit Squad by then. Nag-fail na yung Nick Nemeth gimmick by then. He would have found a way. To get himself over.
Because Dolph always finds a way.
That's true. And Dolph didn't, well, he kind of needed Vicky for the heel hit, but like we said, he would have found a way.
And like we saw that naman, after his split with Vicky Guerrero, he was able to maintain yung heel heat niya until the point na he was so good that people just started cheering for him. Yeah.
Hashtag heel Ziggler.
Yeah. You know, he was so damn sick of being so damn sick. I loved it when he said that in 2011. All right, let's talk about other things besides yung mga directly impacted by Eddie's death. Or no, sorry, two more. Something I missed out on. Talk about Chavo and Raquel Diaz. Raquel Diaz, of course, the ring name of Shaw Guerrero, Eddie's oldest daughter. If Eddie doesn't die, would Chavo Guerrero still be in the WWE today?
Yeah, I think so. I think Chavo's enjoyment of being with the company is tied to Eddie, basically.
Because
without Eddie, he would have not. He probably, as we saw, he found a way to stay, but
it didn't last very long.
Yeah. I think Eddie was the anchor, I guess, for a lot of the.
A lot of Chavo.
Yeah. For those closest to him, which we'll get into a bit later.
Right, later on. Let's save that bit. But going back to Chavo, we watched an episode of Lucha Underground, and Ro brought this up earlier. Something about Chavo Guerrero being the last remaining active wrestler on the Guerrero family.
Yeah. It's kind of sad now. Because, you know, Chavo really never, for one reason or another, never really amounted to much.
He wasn't able to break that glass ceiling that Eddie broke.
He was never an A-plus player.
Well, the thing with Chavo, he's a bitch. Chavo is a self-righteous bitch, where Eddie was humble and hardworking. Not to say that Chavo wasn't hardworking, not to say he wasn't good, but he
was an asshole.
He didn't play the politics that they wanted to.
Chavo just was angry. He's an angry guy, I can tell. A couple of years ago, when I was active on Twitter, when I was just getting active on Twitter, I followed all the wrestlers, right?
Okay.
I followed Chavo, and he was just such a negative person. No, seriously, he was an asshole.
Like the type of person you'd have to unfollow kasi tagang nega lang talaga.
Yeah, I had to. And then the only person worse is his dad.
Chavo Classic.
Yeah. Those two, I think they...
Worse than Iron Sheik?
Yeah.
Huh? Worse than Iron Sheik?
Iron Sheik is funny. Iron Sheik is... I think you can tell that Iron Sheik is being funny.
And sinasadya niya yun just to get the laughs, diba?
Chavo and his dad are just straight up angry at the world for some reason.
And they just want to get that steam out on Twitter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Now, how about Raquel Diaz? I'm sure she would still be in WWE today. Because if Eddie was still around, he would have been like an NXT mentor.
Oh, for sure.
How old is she?
Now, she's in her 20s.
Yeah, she's in her... Parang kaedad natin.
Okay. Not and for those younger. Of them who don't know, we're in our mid-20s.
You're
early.
Early
to mid-20s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, she... If she wanted to be a wrestler, then she would have been a wrestler. I think Eddie would not have stopped her.
The doors were wide open for her, and considering that this wellness center, not
performance
even performance center, I'm jumping the gun there. But
consider this: Shawl was said to have been good. Now, without Eddie, imagine what she would have been with Eddie
and the performance center.
Right, because exactly. when he died, she was like 15, 16, diba?
Yeah,
around that age.
Yeah, yeah.
And 40, she wouldn't have started training yet at the time.
Yeah,
yeah.
So sayang, diba? Parang, you know, in an alternate universe where Eddie's alive and actually directly training Shawl to get in the ring, imagine where she would have been right now on the Divas roster. Would she be on Total Divas? We don't know.
Probably.
God
probably
no,
will.
Please.
She probably will.
But with her, do we get... What's her name?
Sino, what's her name?
What's her name? That girl who sucks ass.
Rosa Mendez!
Do we get Rosa Mendez?
Rosa Mendez is already there.
Yeah, she was part of the 2004 Diva Search.
Oh, God.
She was Milena Ruca.
Damn it.
From 04 or 05. One of those years.
I'd love Raquel Diaz over her.
Oh, naman. So, yeah. You know, one thing about Eddie Guerrero's death that a lot of people don't realize at first is that his death is one of the direct reasons why the wellness policy was instituted. Like, if Eddie didn't die, either there would be no wellness policy or it wouldn't have been instituted as quickly as it was.
There would have been. Someone would have died. If Eddie didn't die, someone would have. You can see this.
Lance Cade's still going to die.
Yeah, Lance Cade is still going to die. Someone else, Test, would have died.
Test would have died either way.
Yeah.
But neither Lance Cade nor Test were employed when they died.
Yeah, well, Lance Cade was
employed. Was still, what, mid-link?
No.
Alam ko they weren't eh. Umaga wasn't
No, no, no.
Either.
Lance Cade was fired.
Lance Cade was fired
because of a drug incident.
Right. And alam ko si Umaga, he was fired over a drug incident. Mm.
And then
he
rehired.
Rehabbing. No, he was rehabbing na. And he was on his way to being rehired.
Died.
And then he died.
Oh.
So these guys, I guess these are the three examples we can think of lang off the top of our heads. Who died of drug-related incidents after Eddie died.
Someone would have died. I think someone would have died.
Like,
without that system to
and
police.
And we haven't even talked about Benoit, even.
Yeah, we're going to save him for later on. I think kasi na it was important for the wellness policy. Yeah, it was important that it was someone high profile. Somebody in the main event and somebody who was well known enough to die of drugs for them to institute that wellness policy. And I think that guy was Eddie Guerrero.
I agree that it would have been slower. The implementation would have been slower. But I don't think that it would not have happened.
It's the inevitable. However,
given the lifestyle of wrestlers.
But why didn't...
Old school wrestlers.
Sorry. Why didn't it happen...
No,
why,
but... If without the policing system, the old school would have transferred to the new school.
Yeah.
My problem kasi with that line of argument is why didn't it happen earlier? I mean, you saw what it did to guys like Tom Billington, the British Bulldog.
Dynamite Kid's still alive.
Yeah, Dynamite Kid's still alive.
No, how is he still alive?
No, I'm not limiting it to just the people who died. But like people whose lives were ruined by drugs. People like Scott Hall.
Oh. He's still alive.
Scott Hall is still alive. He outlived Eddie and Benoit.
Do you wanna bring up RVD and Sabu?
RVD is smoking weed,
which is not a drug in my book.
I mean, parang, no, weed doesn't.
Thanks, Afro Man.
Oh, we're going there.
Weed does not kill you like as fast as hard stuff does.
No, but they do hard stuff.
But fine,
it's been documented.
Let's
no
go
Sabu.
Back.
RVD.
Let's go back to
the earlier question.
We've seen it happen to guys like Davey Boy Smith, guys like Sensational Sherry. They died of their drug use nila, and they died before Eddie did.
Miss Elizabeth, thank you.
Granted, they weren't employed anymore at the time. But why did it have to take so long, or why did they have to wait until Eddie died for the wellness policy to actually happen?
Because Vince. Basically.
I mean, it's always because that's the easiest cop out, that it's because Vince. But the thing is, WWE was a pioneer with the wellness policy.
But everyone says, it's because Eddie died.
It's because Eddie died. But the thing is, the easiest cop out is because Vince. But the thing is, at the end of the day, at least Vince did something.
It's too little too late. For
but
me, it's too little too late. Because the NBA did this shit in the 80s. They started with Michael Ray Richardson.
But
it wasn't league-wide.
it was league-wide. They cracked down on cocaine in the 70s and in the 80s. That's why Michael Ray Richardson got
kicked
out.
But not performance-enhancing drugs.
Hindi siya, yeah, it's not necessarily PEDs. Not in the WWE, in the NBA's case. I guess you could put PEDs into MLB.
I don't think there's a PED problem in the NBA.
No, there isn't.
No, there isn't. But the thing is, we're talking about drugs, and PED falls under that. That was the most widely used.
With the
wellness policy. A lot of guys were hit because of that.
True. Like, I think it was late 2005 when that case came out.
Time out. Wait, I have the answer now as to why it took them this long.
Let's see what you got.
Because PEDs, they wanted the bodybuilder look.
Oh, God. We're going with the jacked argument.
Yes, we are going with the jacked argument because that's the thing that would have guaranteed success.
And that's what
in Vince's mind.
Yeah, in Vince's mind.
That's why smaller guys like Eddie and Benoit did what they did.
Yeah, exactly. That's why they look that way. Because that's how they knew
Vince wanted.
No, that's how they knew they were going to stand a chance in the first place. That's how they knew that they were going to be taken seriously, is if they looked in any way jacked.
So let's go back to the what ifs, and let's branch out another what if from this wellness policy argument. If Eddie doesn't die, would guys like CM Punk and Daniel Bryan succeed in today's WWE? Given their body types, and given their styles of wrestling.
I still want to say that...
guys like Sami Zayn, Adrian Neville.
Okay.
Who's, by the way, too jacked for his size for me.
Yeah, he is. But that's because he works out. He works out like a fucking beast.
Or does he?
Okay, and then if we're in this argument, our corollary is Cesaro, right?
Okay.
Cesaro has that look.
He has the look.
He's smaller than the traditional
big dudes.
But he's jacked as fuck.
Yeah, but for one thing, he's no Mason Ryan.
Okay. Sure. He's not a Mason Ryan.
But going back. I still say that these guys get enough respect from the indies because the work that they've done without PEDs, without the support of the system, without WWE, right up until they get to the WWE is good enough to get them in. And once they get in...
Now, here's something to think about. They didn't have to have Eddie die to be successful. The mere fact that Eddie was successful despite his size
is testament enough for that.
Yeah, it's testament enough to the fact that if you're good enough, no matter what size you are, you will make it somehow. The cream rises to the top.
Okay, that's a fair point.
The mere fact of Eddie's success back in the WrestleMania 20 era is enough to blaze a trail for guys like Punk and Bryan.
So that,
I think,
that moment pretty much broke their glass ceiling.
Yeah.
Okay, but this is my take on it. Eddie was one of the first guys who found mainstream success coming from the nit and grit of NJPW out of ECW. And then going the route, like, from that independent at the time route, those unconventional route into WCW and then eventually WWE. The path that he took is very parallel to guys like now, like Punk, like Bryan, like Sami Zayn, like Kevin Steen.
We have to concede, though, that Eddie, despite taking those parallel similar career path, Eddie looks different from the other guys, from Punk, from Bryan, from, I don't know, from Kenta,
because
from
he's Mexican.
No.
I meant that as a joke. Because he comes
from the Guerrero family.
No. Because he's jacked.
Because he got jacked.
The point I was trying to make, naman, was the reason why Eddie could be totally different was because he came from that family then.
And that
worked out in his favor.
It's a plus. No, it's a big plus.
Look at Eddie again. It's a big plus, but look at Eddie again. He, even though he's like 5'10", 5'8", 5'9".
He's 5'8", yeah.
He was still jacked. He was like a mini bodybuilder.
Wait, he was 5'8", 200 plus. He was 5'8", 200
Eddie
plus.
And Benoit are small guys, but they were big, jacked dudes.
Yeah, they were. They were.
And that's
that
the difference
was drugs,
between,
too.
Yeah, that's the difference, yeah, between them and the small guys now.
Okay.
That's what you have to concede, I think.
So it's not the process. It's not the journey.
It was the process, but in a way, it was also the look. And that's the look that killed them.
Because if we were talking about the process, it could have been duplicated. I mean, you have somebody like Chris Jericho, who, when you look at him and when you...
No, if Eddie
listen
didn't
to his story...
Sorry. Let me say this one. If Eddie didn't die, in a way, technically, there would have been precedent for smaller guys to rise to the top of the main event. But it would have been harder for them because they didn't have that same look.
Right, right. Ang sa akin naman is the mention. The reason why I mentioned Chris Jericho is because he also blazed that trail without having to go the exact same route as guys like Eddie and Benoit. And I think that's why, at the end of the day, parang, you know, to answer my own question, I think pointing to Jericho as an example, as a precedent, kind of paves the way for guys like Sami Zayn, for Daniel Bryan, for CM Punk to eventually have succeeded anyway. So, like, in an alternate universe in 2014, these guys would still be popular, these guys would still be successful, and these guys would still have main event potential in WWE.
Sana.
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 Sana. In an ideal world.
In an ideal world. I think, but I just think that guys like Punk and Bryan, if Eddie were still alive, would have not broken the glass ceiling.
Would have not.
All right. No.
Okay. I don't think, unless something drastic happens.
And that drastic, like in this status quo, that drastic thing would have been Eddie's death.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So they need a catalyst for it.
All right.
They need a catalyst to get rid of that
stigma,
of the mindset that looking big, looking the steroids look
was good.
Was good.
Right, right. And they needed something to shatter that stigma. All right, let's talk about the wellness policy one last time. I know you're excited to get to our last point, Camus. I am too. I am too. But we have to mention this because one of the wellness policy's biggest targets was Randy Orton. He went through strike two of the wellness policy. And if there was no wellness policy, or if the wellness policy wasn't instituted as early as it was, would he have gone through that awkward phase between 2011 and 2013 where he was mired in mid-card hell?
I think something bad would have happened to him.
Yeah, it's like Randy had problems. The whole point is that, you know, those voices in his head, that whole shtick.
They're called drugs.
That's drugs, kids.
No, but on a serious note,
would it have been possible if that Randy would have been the one who died if Eddie didn't?
Oh, God
die?
Forbid!
Oh, wow,
wow.
You can ACP.
No, I don't think it was.
I mean, it's not okay. It's not. As bad. It's still high profile because he's younger. Yeah.
No, I mean, no. I don't think his problems were as bad.
No, but he had problems.
But we didn't know the extent.
We don't. Eddie at his worst was so fucked up. And that guy crashed his car.
Right. And he tried to kill himself at one point, diba?
That is fucked up. I don't think Randy was.
No. Okay. Because Randy is just not as high profile.
But he was.
He was high profile at the time. He was young. He was up and coming. But the thing is, I don't see him having, you know, the same kind of hard drug problems the way that Eddie did at his peak.
That's what I was saying.
But the thing is, he was still bad enough that he could have died. That's the thing.
And would he have been that catalyst? Could he have been that catalyst?
He could have. In a worst case scenario, he could have.
Nakakatakot no. Like when you think about like drugs and death and shit, you're like,
because drugs are bad, kids.
Yeah, stay away from
drugs. Are bad.
Listen to Kuya Camus.
Okay, but the thing is, hard drugs fuck you up.
That's true.
I mean, we've said it on the show previously. We don't know what it's like because we've never gone there, but these guys have, and we never want to see that happen to anyone.
So, going back to Randy Orton, I guess the answer is no, but he wouldn't have gone through that awkward phase in his career because he would have died or something bad would have happened.
Okay, he would have died
or
he would have been out of the WWE.
Yeah, yeah.
He would have been fired, yeah, for sure.
He would have been fired because he was borderline. He was at that borderline where it's like it's no longer acceptable. That shit cray. But
just to like paint this picture in context, ito ba yung time na tumaba siya? Like 2007, yes. Rated
no,
RKO
he was already
days.
Fat.
He was getting chubby. He was getting chubby, but then he hit his peak about 2007, 2008.
No, I would say that he became lean nung nag-legacy na sila.
Yeah.
09
yeah.
and 10.
09,
that's when
010.
He shaped up. But in pre-legacy rated RKO days, that's when he was really fat.
Ooh, boy.
He was fat before.
No, he was even in like
his early career was him fat.
His post-evolution run, he was really chunky. Post-evolution.
Yeah, post-evolution.
Him in his younger days, he was really, he was...
I think RN and Randy news network thing. That injury update
from
run.
The whole, from, I don't know, up until the whole crazy Randy period.
When he started RKOing.
He really had his baby fat.
Okay.
Okay. But he got over it.
He did.
And look at him now.
All right, one last question under the wellness policy.
He's on meth now.
If Eddie doesn't die, Do you think guys like RVD and Booker T go to TNA? Just to throw it out there, maybe from out of left field.
I think yes, because the spot that Eddie had as that long term legacy guy that RVD and Booker T could have filled, that stays with him. We don't get King Booker.
Wow,
we don't get King Booker.
Because Ray doesn't become champion.
Yeah,
that's right. Oh, no.
We don't get RVD. We still get RVD becoming disgruntled at the fact that
because ECW is coming back.
Yeah, because ECW is coming back. All of this bullshit that he doesn't want to deal with, he just says, "Okay, I can work a lighter schedule at TNA."
But does he still lose that world championship?
What do you mean?
But he lost the world championship. RVD lost that championship.
RVD. Yes,
because he's RVD.
Because at the end of the day, RVD was the
No. Because he got high. Now, I guess a discussion about Eddie Guerrero and his death will not be complete without a discussion of Chris Benoit and his death. And I guess the biggest what if on my list, personally, is, and I'm sure you guys would probably agree, is if Eddie didn't die, Chris Benoit would be alive today.
Eddie was...
No, I think here's what happens. Chris Benoit doesn't do what he did, but he would have done something. Not as bad as what he did.
No, he would have done something. He would have... Okay, this is my take. Because
I just don't know what it is.
Okay, my take naman on this is that Eddie was going the whole born-again Christian route.
Mm.
Like towards the end.
Yeah. Okay.
Towards the
end. Yeah. And this is outside of the ring.
We know that Benoit was practicing Catholic guy.
Eh.
Okay. He had some religious ties.
I mean, you knew that from the Bible. The Bible's placed at, you know, family. Yeah.
So at the very least, you know, he'd have something
to hold on to.
Someone to hold on to.
Yeah,
Because who was Chris Benoit's best friend? Like
Eddie.
That's why. Eddie was a rock to a lot of people in the WWE.
No, yeah, but I'm not saying that Chris does something bad.
Doesn't go out and double homicide, suicide.
Yeah. Or even something close. But he does something bad. He fucks somewhere. He fucks up somewhere along the line.
I think
enough maybe to cost him something, maybe to get him suspended or whatever.
My take on it is, I think the worst case scenario for Chris Benoit, if Eddie were still alive today, he'd be like the Dynamite Kid, Tom Billington. He would end up like him.
No. Benoit was too good.
No, I think he would have ended up like somewhere near paraplegic. Parang ganun, because of his style and the way it affected his body, he would have probably been like Dynamite Kid, which is ironic given that he idolized the Dynamite Kid growing up.
The hope there is that if that ever happened to Chris Benoit, maybe their relationship, him and Eddie, would be more like DDP and Jake the Snake right now.
Okay.
Because, and if Benoit finds DDP yoga in an alternate universe.
Pangalawang beses ito.
Ginawang comic books eh.
But okay, so back to my point. Chris Benoit, okay, his style led to a lot of bad things to happen to him neurologically. Yes, fact. The steroid abuse was present in his body. Fact. The thing is...
Papi, wait na. Baka tumawag si Tyson.
But the thing is, Chris Benoit just needed support. I mean, if Jake the Snake can get clean, and he was so much worse. Not necessarily in terms of length of abuse, but abuse nonetheless.
Because he came from that different era.
Different era.
Where it was so hard. Like, the drug use was so blatantly hard.
And that's the dark spot. That's the dark spot in this industry that we love so much. That Chris Benoit could have gotten better in present day circumstances if he were alive.
Gotten better by...
Gotten over everything.
But his brain was damaged, though.
Yeah, I think that's something that would have remained consistent had Eddie stayed alive. But I kind of agree with what Camus is saying.
But that's the thing.
He needed a support system in a friend.
Yeah, for sure.
That's the thing. Once Eddie goes, watch the development of Benoit. What the years that he had left.
But he had guys like Chavo and Dean.
Jericho. He had Chavo, Jericho, Dean Malenko, Barry Saturn?
Are you naming the whole Radicals?
No,
what the hell?
Okay, that's why. No, but
I think Barry Saturn is really part of their barcada, you know?
But that's the thing. That's the thing. Look at it. It's always been those two ride and die together.
Ride and die.
Literally. Literally ride and die together. But the thing is, does Benoit, like, in an optimistic universe, these two are still okay and part, and like, we can still get that WrestleMania 20 moment.
No, yun nga, that is my, I think, that is my very optimistic universe, that Benoit does something, not as bad as the double murder suicide, but something pa rin, something, he fucks up somewhere along the way, and
he gets his redemption in
the end. Yeah, yun. Maybe that's a thing that happens.
Kind of like Jake the Snake today.
Yeah.
All right. Bonus question. If Eddie and Benoit were still alive today, WrestleMania 30, would we have that moment with Daniel Bryan? Because when you take a look at it, I think we rationalized this in previous episodes of the podcast, where the reason why Triple H does what he does, the reason why he puts over Daniel Bryan, and Daniel Bryan eventually becomes world champion on the granddaddy of them all, is because they're trying to recreate that moment that Hunter and the rest of Stanford know they can't ever replay again.
It would depend on whether Bryan Danielson even makes it to the WWE at that point and gets to the top. There would have been so many factors that would have changed that outcome that we don't even know if Daniel Bryan makes it to the main event of WrestleMania 30 and have that title shot.
Here's the thing. It's butterfly effect at its worst here. That question is so loaded because, as Rose said, the circumstances for Bryan to get there alone are so highly improbable. Like, there are so many factors. Punk being one. The Royal Rumble being another. So many small things have to happen for Bryan to get to that level, for them to even consider doing that. Does he even, you know, make it? Maybe. Does he get his WrestleMania moment? Probably not. Like, even in the most optimistic sense of it all, probably not.
You have to consider that even now, pahirap pa na siyang makakuha ng WrestleMania moment until this year's WrestleMania.
Yeah, because even in present day, let's go back to real present day. Daniel Bryan's legacy is only that moment. Hear me out.
Okay, sure.
He has one ultimate moment that will cement him and follow him for the rest of his career.
I would actually argue for 2011 TLC, because I think that it was one small step towards that. So, like, I think you can't discount the fact that he had that moment at TLC, even though it was, like, small and unexpected and it didn't have the gravitas.
Are we talking about the World Heavyweight Championship win?
Exactly.
Does he even get that? Does he even win Money in the Bank? We don't know.
Okay, let's play it out. Let's work backwards from WrestleMania 30. Just for the sake of this question.
Sure.
No, if Eddie was alive?
If Eddie was alive.
And if Benoit were still alive.
And if Benoit were still alive.
Benoit would be like in his 40s, then in his mid-40s
He'd
today.
Be a producer. He'd be a producer. Best case scenario.
Benoit, by the end of his career, was after the World Heavyweight Championship win, he was back to being, what, U.S. champion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was feuding with the likes of MVP and Johnny Knight.
He was about to win the ECW Championship, but that's a mid-card championship belt at best.
At the time, yeah.
At the time.
It's ironic, though, that both Eddie and Benoit died on the day that they were supposed to have won a championship. I'm just putting it out there as some sort of fun fact.
But, yeah. Fun fact?
It's not fun.
Or a piece of trivia. Sorry. Go on.
Ian, so I don't think that they would have messed around in that particular main event scene at WrestleMania 30.
They just go straight to the triple threat match?
I don't know. Something happens.
Or it would have been a different card altogether.
Yeah. Ian, that's most likely what's going to happen. It would not have been what we know it is now.
Okay, just throw it out. We get a lot of WrestleMania 30 moments when they hype the network nowadays, right?
Right. Yep.
Imagine if they could just replay Eddie and Benoit for, you know, for God knows how long. Because that moment was replayed constantly. That moment deserves to be in the opening card of WWE then, now, and forever. It deserves to be...
I think so, too.
Like, in every single... you know, random moment. It's one of those moments, eh. But just because Benoit goes the way that he does, we don't get that anymore. We're not allowed to relive that.
We're not even allowed to see Benoit in the Hall of Fame. And, you know, Chris Jericho himself made a good case for it. Yeah. Like, dati kasi ako, I believe that Chris Benoit should be in the Hall of Fame. I believed that before. And it took me so many years to get to this point where I don't believe that anymore. It took me... I had to go through that AMA that Jericho did and listen to him directly. Just really internalize
the I never believed it. I never believed
it. Ako, I know that based on his work alone, he should be.
But
it's unforgivable. And we've said it before, you know, Benoit fucked up. Benoit fucked up for everyone.
I never saw a scenario in which it would have ever been feasible for Benoit, after doing what he did, to ever be in the Hall of Fame.
Ever.
As much as I loved him.
Right. No, I get that. I don't even want to throw out the counter-argument anymore, but it has to be said that there are Hall of Famers there who are legit fucking murderers. Scott Hall fucking murdered somebody.
Jimmy Snuka?
Yeah, Jimmy Snuka, you know, was fucking convicted for assault. So parang,
and murder.
And
he
murder.
Killed the
and
guy.
Murder. I mean, Stone Cold's committed assault.
Battery and puppy.
Battery. But still, wrestling has its black marks, and we've brought it up before. But Benoit fucked it up for all of us.
He killed a child.
Dude, he didn't just fuck it up for all of us. He fucked it up for the industry itself.
But that is all of us.
Fine.
Yeah, but he fucked it up for the industry and then made it better. So there's that, I guess.
Is he redeemed? Is
no,
he's not.
No.
But does he have to be redeemed in order for him to have contributed something?
No.
I think that's a fucked up question.
It is a fucked up question.
Let's not go there today.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. All these what ifs, but it really gets you thinking. And without really realizing it, as morbid as it is to say, the deaths of two people really have such a large ripple effect in an industry such as pro wrestling. Like, I think the Eddie and Benoit deaths have more impact on the industry than any other deaths previously. Like, aside from Owen Hart.
Oh, God.
Aside from the Owen Hart death, I think Eddie and Benoit's deaths are the most impactful deaths in the history of the business.
For reasons we've already stated in the 51 minutes and counting of our discussion.
Not counting editing.
Yeah.
But the thing is, my take on it is that, okay, two guys died, two legends died. It's not so much that, you know, we're saying that they're impactful because of their death, but with their death comes new life. It's very Christianic, it's very theological, but that's the way it is.
I can get behind that. You know, I can. I guess just going back on that note, I'd like to bring up something from The Squared Circle. It's the Masked Man's book. If you haven't read it yet, please do. It's really a great book. The book basically covers deaths in professional wrestling and how, you know, all these deaths pretty much make up a huge tapestry that is the history of pro wrestling. And my favorite chapter in the book, obviously, is about Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit. They lived parallel lives. They were best friends. And years after they've died, they're remembered very, very differently. They're on polar opposites of the spectrum because of the way they went out. And I don't know if it's because of the business, if it's because of, you know, its side effects or whatnot, but it's just sad to see how these two people who were so close and who touched so many lives went out the way they did. And as a result, are remembered the way that they are. And I guess that's why at the end of the day, we're having this episode. We're having this episode to commemorate the legacy of Eddie Guerrero, to celebrate his life, his death, and his contributions to this industry that we love. And we want to end this, I guess, by, you know, telling everyone that if you can spare a moment to say a prayer, to just thank him, you know, thank the big guy, and thank Eddie.
Ryback? We have to thank Ryback?
Not that big guy.
Not that big guy, the real big guy.
Yung kalaban ni Vince McMahon, papi.
Si Sami Zayn.
Now, we got to thank God, you know, for the gift of Eddie Guerrero.
We do record in a Christian studio.
Yeah, we do.
We do.
This is a Christian Catholic station, you know. We pray the rosary at 4:45 a.m. daily. Just got to say it out there. Thank you, by the way, to Mellow 94.7 Studios for always hosting us. yeah, I guess we just want to close it out by saying that, you know, we got to say a prayer and pray for the souls of Eddie and maybe even Chris Benoit.
And no, and without closing it, for those who, you know, for those who aren't religious, we might as well close it out this way. On a lighter note, what are your favorite Eddie matches?
Thank you. Thanks for bringing that up.
I mean, we've spent most of the day posting it on Facebook,
yeah.
And on the Facebook group. And I mean, I posted mine earlier today, and mine was the ECW send-off between him and Malenko. I've said it before that Dean Malenko is one of the most underrated guys in the industry from that generation of superstars. And him and Eddie put on a clinic that night in a 2 out of 3 falls match, and it went to a draw because of the time limit. And it was beautiful because we got to see not just the in-ring ability of two greats, but we got to see the class of Eddie Guerrero. Usually when guys leave the independents or even smaller promotions, and this was ECW at the time, they'd get like you sold out chants, like if they were heels, but they got the please don't go chant. And it's rarely that you see people get that kind of respect from a crowd that was only with them for like a year. And that's one of my favorite Eddie moments.
Mine, well, this guy's, I know what Stan is going to say, so.
Sure.
I'm going to pick that match he had with Edge. I think it was a no holds barred street fight, something like that.
Yeah.
On this 2002 episode of SmackDown.
It's actually part of the You Think You Know Me DVD.
Yeah, of course it is, because it was such a good match. And, well, it's a shame, though, because we did not get as many big Eddie moments to pick from. You know, I would have loved to have more championship wins.
Oh, no man.
Championship matches, title defenses to have picked from. But, you know, two of my most favorite superstars in that ring, tearing it up, that would always be a great match for me.
And, you know, I think it's been said, I'm probably one of the bigger Eddie marks around. And that's something I embrace. One of the biggest. And that's something I embrace because, you know, Eddie Guerrero really means so much to my fandom. And, you know, his death really rocked it to the core. I think it goes without saying my favorite match is No Way Out 2004, Eddie Guerrero versus Brock Lesnar, because of just the gravity of the moment. You know, I don't care that Goldberg intervened. I don't care if people say na lalagyan ng asterisk because of the intervention or the interference of Goldberg. At the end of the day, the story behind it was so powerful. I mean, who couldn't get behind a guy who was berated for his size, berated for his demons, berated for basically just being who he was and going up against seemingly insurmountable odds against a physical specimen like Brock Lesnar? We've all faced those odds. We've all been there. And for someone like me personally, I was bullied. I was bullied growing up. And to see someone like Eddie, who was bullied as well.
Hashtag hugot.
Yeah. Totally. Humugot ako. And I could really, really identify and relate with Eddie Guerrero. That's why he was my hero. That's why he was someone I really rooted for till the bitter end. And when I saw him hit that frog splash and get that 1-2-3, I really felt like I was in there in San Francisco. And I wanted to cry.
Cow Palace, San Francisco.
I wanted to cry because it was such a huge moment. And I was a mark. And I would mark out 11 times out of 10. Every time I will watch that match.
The cumulative marks lead to a 11.
You know, just every time I just see that match and I see the glory that Eddie Guerrero went through, you know, how he made his family proud, how he made his
mother
proud, his mother proud, Vince McMahon proud. And that's something that nobody can ever take away from us. WrestleMania 20 be damned. And that's why, you know, that's my favorite match, and that's the biggest Eddie moment ever.
I just want to talk about that asterisk real quick. You say it's an asterisk.
No. The internet says it's an asterisk.
No. I'm saying that you say it's an asterisk. When I say you, I meant everyone else.
Sure.
All of you in internet land.
But you have to consider the fact that it could have been anyone else in that position to get that championship. I don't know who else was a face.
Hardcore
at the time.
Holly. Remember, he was the previous challenger.
No.
No, for the sake of conversation, he was the previous challenger.
Yeah, and it could have been anyone else. And I don't even think Eddie going into the match was a legitimate contender for to actually win the championship. And the mere fact that they even chose him was something to write home about, yo.
It is.
I mean, it's something there. Parang it's something talaga. You don't just get handed the championship, although you do sometimes. But in that capacity, na when they're looking for the next person to hold it after Brock Lesnar is quitting on them, parang they were gonna trust this guy to hold it for a while, right?
That's right. You know, it's sad looking back. Kasi we now that we know why Eddie couldn't hold on to it as long as we would have wanted him to. Because at the end of the day, diba, parang the pressure got to him.
Yeah.
The pressure did get to him, and that's why he actually lobbied for Bradshaw to take his place.
And JBL did a damn good job.
He got a great long run.
Actually, we don't have to go into a what if Eddie didn't die. Because what if Eddie wasn't around, period? Bradshaw would not be JBL.
So parang,
He would have gotten the gimmick, but...
But probably not
the championship.
The main event run that he got. And that's thanks to, you know, Eddie Guerrero. And
Eddie legitimized JBL's run.
That's right. He did. For sure, he did. So, you know, and that's why at the end of the day, you know, we can't understate his impact anymore. I mean, any more than we have. It's just that the impact is just so far-reaching.
And we're 9 years on and we're still talking about him. That's testament enough.
I was watching for the... Sorry. I posted kasi on SGP. No plugs here. I just posted the last match, the one versus Mr. Kennedy, the very last match. And I had forgotten how much I missed watching Eddie work. But there is really no one like him right now. Even though it's funny because wrestling is, in a way... unoriginal. It's been so long. It's been here so long that it's unoriginal. But there isn't anyone still who could work, who could move around the ring, who could wrestle like Eddie can.
Would you want to, though? Would you want to see
another
Eddie?
Yeah, of course.
I don't want to see somebody else become the next Eddie Guerrero.
No. Not.
I want to see somebody be on his level.
No, papi. When I say, of course, I don't mean that I don't want to see someone be the next Eddie. I just want to see someone who was as good. Because if you see someone who is as good as Eddie, that could only be good for the wrestling industry as a whole.
Yeah,
sure. Right, and I guess in closing, just want to say thank you, Eddie. Thank you, Eddie Guerrero. All of us wouldn't be here without Eddie Guerrero, without his work, without his legacy, and without what he's left behind. And... well, it's only fitting then that we close our podcast this week with our pick of the week, because it's our way of moving forward.
Sure.
You know, in life, we move forward.
Yeah, maganda yun.
We move on. Like Rose said earlier, we're over it.
We are.
Right, so let's get to my pick of the week. Now, my pick of the week is the steel cage match on SmackDown, Dolph Ziggler versus Kane, because... what the fuck? What a match.
How are they that good together? I do not know.
Kane is good.
Ziggler is better.
Kane is like one of the best big men still in the company.
But the thing is...
Ever.
For sure. But the thing is, how are they still pulling this? It's so good.
Ang galing ng psychology and the storytelling in that match. I was gripped from
start to finish.
Loved the finish.
Some people might think it's too contrived, but it was fun as fuck.
It was fun kasi meron suspense, it was thrilling, and you're like, damn it, Dolph just rolled over and fall.
Yeah.
You're not that high up, you can fall.
I was able to suspend my disbelief because it was such a dramatic finish.
It was gripping. And you can't ask for anything more out of a steel cage match. Because a lot of times when we bitch about cage matches, it's because they're not gripping enough or they're not riveting enough for us to care.
Case in point, the actual cage match that happened earlier in the night.
The tag team cage match.
Thank you. The Usos versus the Dust Busters.
It was solid. It was decent. But they didn't use the cage enough.
As often as we would have liked. And that's why when you see something bad and it's followed up by something good, do mo na appreciate na putang na swerte ko talaga na I got to watch this cage match. That's when you appreciate what was given to you. And that's when you're thankful. Thanks, WWE.
Okay, so my pick of the week is the Peep Show segment last Friday on SmackDown. Because finally... some storyline progression for Dean and Bray, diba? And the fact that the reveal that Dean has
a father
in prison, that's real deep, bro.
Parang yung kay CM Punk and his sister.
Oh. I thought of that for sure, but parang I think
because it's Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, because it's Bray Wyatt, it's much more menacing. And then his magic trick. Sorry, I know it's simple illusions, you know,
but production value.
Yeah, and it was parang I am all for Bray Wyatt having weird ass Undertaker powers. The campy Undertaker of the mid-2000s.
Right.
That was fun, and this is a throwback to that.
Approaching those levels.
Yeah, and I love it. I don't know. I know it's not for everyone, but I really love, teleporting Bray Wyatt.
Hey, shout out to Ryan Songaglio of Rappler. I know he would have loved that pick of the week, too, because he's a big ENC mark.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Can we have this guy on the show?
Yes, we will be having him on the show very soon.
We need to have Ryan on the show.
Hey, exclusive. He's actually said yes. We just need to find common time. We will make that happen very, very soon. So watch out. We tell you guys, we've got future guests lined up for you.
Watch out, Joe the Grappler. He's coming for you.
Nigga.
Great. All right, Mr. Kamus, so your pick of the week.
My pick of the week for 2 weeks in a row was Sami Zayn versus Tyson Kidd. I mean, main event, you don't watch it much. A lot of you guys, well, okay.
You should.
Basically, if you're not watching Sami Zayn on TV, on your illegal streams, watching NXT, or watching NXT on Fox, please, guys, this guy is golden. He is one of those once-in-a-generation superstars, and I mark out so hard for him. But the thing is, it is a good match. It's an A match, and good storytelling, story continuity, incredible wrestling, the use of Natty and her tits.
Wait, what?
You're not watching, aren't you?
Malamang.
I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, for those of you who haven't seen Main Event, it is Tyson Kidd accompanied by Natty in an incredibly low-cut top. And if you can pull up the pictures now, Stan.
I'll do that later.
I would like to say, though, that it's not illegal streams. They're underground links.
They're lucha underground links.
Dude, I mean, we live in a country where wrestling is so hard to come by. That's why we're thankful that PWR exists. So we have to do what we can to actually get our wrestling. So I think we deserve some slack, okay?
Yeah, we do.
I'm not saying that.
No, we do. We do. Just then, all of y'all, if you cannot find a way to catch Sami Zayn, you have no excuse. We've told you. Believe the hype. He's that good.
Believe that.
And with that, we are going to be closing episode number 32 of the SGP podcast. Thank you so much for going on this ride with us. If you have any what-ifs on your own or any Eddie tributes you'd want to share with us or any Eddie stories that you might have, hey, for all we know, you probably got to encounter him yourself. And if you do, or if you did, you're one lucky bastard. Let us know. Hit us up on Twitter. It's at Stan947.
At Caveman Camus.
At Rose War.
And as always, we'd like to remind you, hell, we'd like to ask you to please, 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 let us know what you think about the SGP podcast. Evaluate us. Rate us on iTunes. Rate us on the Google Play Store. Rate us on Buzzsprout. Wherever you can find us, just rate us. Let us know what you think. Hell,
or
you
even
can
just
tweet
tell
us.
Just tell us on the group.
Yeah, you can also email us at thesgppodcast@gmail.com.
Now, something to keep you excited for next week's SGP podcast, we'll be having Bose Avenue The Return. We will also be having director Mico Livello, the guy behind Sangalan ni Ultimate Warrior. That's actually happening next week on the SGP podcast. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, we're going to head on to our own versions of Thursday night. Peace out.
Peace.
Viva la raza! That's lasting long. Los mujeres fall in love with that Latin charm. One woman isn't enough, amigo. Siempre cogiendo más mujeres porque soy latino. And I'm tough and tough, calling your bluff, cuz.